today on Real Radio.
And when Christ returns in the second coming, watch, the Bible says every eye of those on earth will see him coming. Now, the Bible says when the rapture takes place, there is no statement of every eye will see him. Only the believers will experience that event.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The doctrine of future events is one of the most controversial doctrines in the Bible. But God Himself tells of future events all the way back in Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, He tells us that through Eve's genealogy, His promises and plans of salvation will come. So, from the world's beginning, spoken of back in Genesis, through the end times, spoken of in the last book of Revelation, God's motive is the message of salvation and eternal life in heaven with Him. Today, Pastor Jack asks, why does God want us to know about the end times? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul warns us that the last days will be perilous. So God wants to deliver us from those who only love themselves and mock Christ's return. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John chapter 14, and we embark for the next several weeks on a new topic, one that is important, in fact, so important, strangely enough, so controversial. It ought not to be, but it is. And that is the doctrine of the Bible's teaching regarding end time events, end time doctrines. 27% of your Bible is dedicated to future events. That's huge. Some scholars say even more than that, and I wouldn't disagree with them. There's no doubt about it that as we look to the events of the last days, some of you maybe here now who are not native to this church, you've already experienced a little bit of an emotional pushback. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about the last days. I don't want to hear about what the Bible says of the end times and what the Bible says about the future. There are professing Christians who I've met before who have said when we've had conferences or when we've had topics just like this, they'll say, Pastor, I'll come back when this topic's over. It makes me nervous. I've never understood that. When Jesus talked about it the most, when we have what is called in the Old Testament the prophets, when we have even in the book of Genesis chapter 3, the very first doctrine introduced to mankind in the Bible, listen, is a salvation doctrine. You say, well, that's not a prophetic doctrine. Hang on. God said that he would send forth from the genealogy of Eve the Savior, the Messiah. Genesis 3. That promise that God made to you and I, to Adam and Eve, regarding salvation back then is a prophetic doctrine. You ever think about that? Well, I don't want to get into Bible prophecy. Then you don't want to get into salvation. You've got to understand that salvation has been promised to us by God. The promise is prophetic. Don't get all caught up in Daniel's 10 toes of his statue that he saw. You don't have to get caught up in the typology or symbolism that God uses to speak through John in the book of Revelation and let that spook you out of knowing what the Bible says about the last days. Don't let that happen to you. Understand that all of God's prophetic revelations in the Bible is to get you and others to understand that God keeps his word, that God, the God of the Bible, not the man-made gods of the cults or pagan religions, but the God of the Bible is the only one who announces, I will tell you the future in advance, and listen, that is how you will know that I am God. And so today, please, I'll be passionate about what I believe in because it's a message not unlike this one today that I heard the gospel for the first time and I got saved. And on top of it, it's topics like this that caused me to walk away from a Bible study like today knowing that my God knows everything that's coming and I can rest in Him. I take no comfort in the fact that North Korea's got a lunatic at the helm. That doesn't comfort me. It doesn't comfort me when I look around the world in Europe, in the Middle East, and you see what is happening. That doesn't comfort me. But when I pull back and realize that the God of the Bible is overseeing all these things and watching over these things, now, and with that, I have comfort. I don't trust man. I don't trust politics. I don't trust anything like that. I hope, and you have come to learn that you can only trust God and His wonderful word. And so when we talk about end times, don't be spooked. Don't be scared, but rather be prepared. Be excited. No need to panic. By introduction, we look at what the Bible has to say. We might ask this question, why should we even care about end time events? You would say to me, Pastor, I don't care about this stuff. I'm trying to feed my family. I'm with you. Pastor, I don't care about this because I'm trying to get through school. I'm just trying to get my grades up. I understand that one. But just know this, while you're trying to feed your family and while you're trying to get your grades up, Jesus could come back at any moment. He could interrupt. Wouldn't it be great if he came back before your finals? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back before your mortgage is due next month? Well, listen, according to the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy, and of course, Timothy was to turn around and announce it to the churches. Know this. I love that statement, know this. It means you better know this. This is not an idle threat, but it is an admonition or an exhortation. But know this. And we would all as Bible students say, what is it, Paul, that you want us to know? Well, it's this, that in the last days, perilous times, troubling times, disturbing times will come. And notice the genesis that fuels the troubling times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Would you agree with the Bible's assessment of what brings on the last days? I mean, that is an understatement now. Lovers of money, people thinking money is the answer. People killing for money. People destroying the lives of others for money. Boasters, proud. Blasphemers, haters of God. Today on steroids, right? Haters of God, amped up, turbocharged. Disobedient to parents. Well, I'm glad that's not happening. Unthankful, unholy, unloving. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Did you see the news from Charlottesville? Without self-control. Did you see brutality? Sick brutality. Despisers of good, traitors. Traitors, the word traitors means they'll look you in the eye, they'll shake your hand, and they all the while in their shaking of your hand and agreeing and signing the contract, they already have a plan to rip you off and to break the deal. Doesn't that not explain much of California, the most litigious, what's the word I'm trying to say? That word. It means I'll sue you if you look at me wrong kind of a state. Are we living in those days, church? Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the amazing thing. Verse 5 says you can find them in gatherings of religion, gatherings in church, so-called, right? Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness. They look like they're a believer maybe on Sunday. But denying its power, the Bible says from such people, turn away from them. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, another strong exhortation. Knowing this first, put this premium before you in the last days. He says, listen to this, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Mark that down, everybody. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be those walking around saying, where is the promise of the return of Jesus? That's a bunch of baloney. We've been hearing about that forever. I don't think it's going to happen. We got time. We got time. Don't worry about it. That's ridiculous. That's silly. Watch out for that. Watch out for that because it's everywhere. Right now, the belief, the doctrine of Christ coming at any time is a mockery among many churches. Listen, I believe, by the way, don't think I'm bashing this particular people group. If they catch fire, they're going to be amazing, if they catch fire, because they're seekers of truth. If they want to be, they'll find it. Here's the deal. The millennials, if the millennials get truth, I think they're going to catch fire. They're going to make a massive, awesome difference. But here's what's hindering them. Many of them go to churches that would never address the issues of Bible prophecy. They want to focus more on the liberty that they have in Christ to do pot or to drink or to exercise their liberty in Jesus to cuss as a Christian. They're more focused on their liberties than on the holiness of God. But if they get focused on the fact and the effect that Christ could come today, I think we're looking at a sleeping giant of people. Pray for our millennials that God would move among them, because it could be a great, great thing. In 1 John chapter 2, this is all introduction. This may be as far as we get today. This is pathetic. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John said, and now listen to John. This is written 2,000 years ago. I love John's passion, but remember, it's not just his passion. Who's the author of the Bible, church? What does the Bible say about that? That's right. The author of the Bible is God the Holy Spirit. So it's not just John. The Holy Spirit's using John. In 1 John 2, verse 18, the Bible says, little children, it is the, he doesn't say last days, he says it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, 2,000 years ago, even now, many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. False religions, John said, would arise. And so technically, if you have your theologian hat on, you're already starting to understand that to accurately define what it is to be in the last days, the coming of Jesus Christ to earth was the beginning of what the Bible would say is the last days, last 2,000 years. But the Bible says watch for certain things to increase and to get more prevalent. And what do we discern from that? John says, when you see these things happening, then you'll understand that we're into the last hour, meaning time is very, very close. And then finally, before we attempt to get into this Bible study today, it's incumbent upon me as a Christian and as a pastor for sure, that everything we go through for these next several weeks as we look at what the Bible says about end times, that I deliver these messages to you with this warning. Not warning to you, warning to me. It's in Ezekiel chapter 33. This is what God says to his shepherds. Ezekiel 33 verse 7 says, so you, son of man, that was Ezekiel's nickname given to him by God, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Isn't that serious? God tells Ezekiel, you better say what I say with hopes that the wicked man will turn from his wickedness and be saved. And Ezekiel, if you don't say it, you're in trouble with me. God issues that to his pastors, both here and in the book of Isaiah. Nevertheless, look at verse 9, Ezekiel 33. If you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. In other words, Ezekiel, you've obeyed me. So that's the spirit I want you to know. That's the spirit I want you to receive these upcoming messages with in these next several weeks. So who told you and I about the end times? Number one, we look at this and you're going to see the number 5. It's because this is our 5th topic in the series, but I'm going to refer to it as number 1. It is this. Why would God tell us that he's coming back? And if we're going to look at the end time things, a skeptic or not, a believer in what God has to say or not, listen, the Bible says, and here's the question, the Bible says he's coming back. So why would God tell us that he's coming back? What purpose does God want to achieve by speaking in the Bible that he's going to return after he has been gone from us, as it were, physically for such a long time? So Bible students, mark this down if you would. We must first acknowledge the fact that the Bible speaks clearly and graphically about the return of Jesus Christ to earth. That is known as the second coming. But when you study the events of the second coming, you've got to break it up into two phases. And let me put it to you this way. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ will make an appearing. It's not a coming, it's an appearing. And we'll study this today and more later, but he'll actually appear versus what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ will physically not only come, but he will arrive and he'll actually set his foot, the Bible says, on the Mount of Olives, and he will enter into the city of Jerusalem. That is an awesome event. It's known as the second coming, but it is not his appearing. There's an appearance and there's a physical return. And it's well that you remember that in your Bible study. Both of them are known as a deliverance. They both are a delivering of God's people from something. So if you're hearing me right now, if you are a believer, you are in the church. You are part of the church age. That is, since the day of Pentecost to the day the Lord takes the church out of the world, if you're a believer, you're in the church. It doesn't matter right now if you're Peruvian, if you're Jewish, if you are Canadian, if you're Russian, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, as Jesus said, then you are of the church. And the Bible says that when he comes, he will remove the church from the earth before the days of wrath, or the time of what is called Jacob's trouble. And that time of 7-year tribulation period, the Bible, as you're going to learn in these next several weeks, God will, without a doubt, remove the church from the 7-year tribulation period. He has to, and we'll see why he has to do that. It's a deliverance from the wrath of God. The second deliverance is regarding the second coming. God intervenes in the second coming when he physically returns back to Israel. By the way, this is awesome. For those of you who have been born, let's say, from 1948 on, that's an amazing year, because the Bible says when Christ returns in the second coming, he's got to return to Israel. For 2,000 years, there was no Israel. Now there's an Israel again. It says that he's going to come to Jerusalem. For 2,000 years, Jerusalem wasn't called Jerusalem. But since May 14th, 1948, now it's Jerusalem again. That ought to cause your ears to perk up, your eyes to get wide. God's on the move, ladies and gentlemen. And when Christ returns in the second coming, watch, the Bible says every eye of those on earth will see him coming. Now, the Bible says when the rapture takes place, there is no statement of every eye will see him. Only the believers will experience that event. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, regarding the fact that he's coming back, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Bible says there, do not be ignorant of this event. And the word ignorant means do not willfully reject. Don't push it off. Don't divorce yourself from the information that is about to be said. And so that's what we're going to be saying. And then one final verse on this before we begin to break it up. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus is speaking. He says, unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia, that is a region of Turkey today. Verse 8, I know your works. Look, or behold, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, because you have a little strength. And you have, notice, kept my word. Pause right there with that comma. Jesus said, I commend you, church of ancient Philadelphia, Turkey, Asia Minor. Jesus says, in the last days, I'll commend any Philadelphian. Can I change the wording a little bit? It's all true. Any Philadelphian, because you say, well, I don't belong to the Philadelphian church. I don't even live in Philadelphia. Don't worry about it. Jesus is saying, from all of the ages of these last two millennia, Jesus is saying, be a Philadelphian. Look, my prayer is that this church would be a Philadelphian church. Well, what is it to be a Philadelphian church? Number one, Jesus says, and this is part, I believe, of hearing from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is this, you've not denied my word. You've not pushed it off. In fact, you've kept my word. What? Listen, I know some of you maybe, I don't know, I hope not, but you know, some of you say, why do we spend so much time in the Bible and so many verses, all these verses? What's with that? Because, listen, I love you, but your approval or disapproval means nothing to me or to us. Listen, We're desiring to get the approval, not the disapproval, of the one who will judge us and this church someday. And listen, I want him to say, hey, Chino Hills, you bunch of crazies. Woo! You kept my word. What does that mean? You stayed true to doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. You didn't embrace weirdness. You didn't go down some goofball road. You stayed true to the word. You let my word speak into your life. You didn't try to tell my word what to say. And he says, you've kept my word. Listen, that's what you and I want to hear on the day of judgment. And we want to know it now. And we can if we keep his word. You want to keep his word. So Jesus says, you've kept my word. And secondly, look at this, and you've not denied my name. What is that? Preach Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ, until you see Jesus Christ, his name. With that statement carries with it the word name, or that announcement name means authority. You have honored, kept, you've looked to me as your, listen, head, your head, your covering. He's not saying to us, you got to be perfect and be sinless. And look, we would if we could, but we can't because we're still connected to us. But here's the awesome thing. As him being your head personally and the head of this church, it is our passion and our desire to please him, to walk with him, to invite him into everything that we do in life, to draw closer to him. Do we fail? Are we lacking? Of course. But are we in hot pursuit of Jesus? Absolutely. And may we pursue him all the more. So the number one thing we look at under this is that who told you about the end times and the fact that he's coming back. He said he was coming back. Look at this, would you? Because he has a day of separation in store. What does that mean? Listen, the reason why we're studying this is because, and I wanted to put the most imminent thing up front first, and that is the fact that God and his word has ordered for us a day of separation. There's nothing new about this. By the way, God has always seemed to be one to separate his people from the world. But the Bible talks about a time when Jesus is going to come back and separate his people from this world. In fact, the Bible tells us in advance that we as believers are already separated from this world. Are we not as Christians? We live here, but we're not of here, right? We're strangers in a foreign land, the Bible tells us. But listen, friends, you shouldn't be puzzled by the fact that God says, I'm going to separate my people from this world someday in a most dramatic way. Because we have samples of this in Scripture. You can write this verse down. I don't think we have it for the screen, and that's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 5, that Enoch, remember Enoch? By the way, just on the news this morning, the oldest man in the world, as far as we know, died yesterday. Oldest man in the world. Did anybody remember how old he is? 113 years old? I mean, that's old. But Methuselah lived, 969 years? I think the Bible says. And that's old. And yet, his name means, at his death it shall be sent. Isn't that wild? What a weird name to name your kid. You're the end. But not for Enoch. Enoch, who was a contemporary of Methuselah, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then one day it says Enoch walked with God, but Enoch was no longer on earth, no more. Because it says, for God took him. And the Bible tells us in another place that he never died. God took him away.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and thank God that when he returns for us, it doesn't depend on our worthiness, but on whether we've accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.